Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It is a Thursday show live. It is the 14th day of November 2019. And wouldn't you know it, it's like the AI, the artificial intelligence, the Lucifer in the machine that's working the timing and working the plans, you see. They had the big opening spread of the impeachment hearing. Old lying piece of crap ship, shifty ship, and the whole bit, and pillow chip, and all of them. Oh, man, oh, man. They were going to get the Trump and do this and that. And I'll tell you what, it bombed because it's all hearsay bullcrap evidence. And, boy, that sure disturbed pillow chip today, I'll tell you. And when you think of pillow chip, just think of a dung chip, you know. A chip of dung, you know, bull chip, so to speak. But anyway, the pillow chip about had one of those conniption fits, and I swear she started making hand movements like Beto. So they must be on the same Prozac or same serotonin reuptake inhibitor type situation or tranquilizer, okay? And the fact of the matter is, I thought that Jordan and that Castro and a few other people, Radcliffe from Texas, I thought they acquitted themselves very well and pointed out the stuff. You know, I liked it when the guy from Texas says to him, do either one of you assert that there was an impeachable offense in this phone call? Shout it out, you know. And then Shifty Ship, lying piece of crap that he is. That's all he is. He's a lying, bug-eyed, demonically possessed piece of scumbag commie. All right? He's a commissar running a show trial. But now because of all of that, and you have 9 out of 10 outlets, and actually Fox has gone over to the dark side, halfway to hedge the bets outside of the morning show and Tucker and Hannity and Ingram to a certain degree. But outside of that, everything else on Fox is basically getting to be anti-Trump. All right. And that's the way it is. So you cannot count on this. If you're calling and thinking about all of this like a standard election cycle and all of these things, and you're not doing your preps, you think, oh, boy, Trump's going to win big, and he might, but I'll tell you what, it's 50-50 at least, all right, 50-50, because we're not just talking about activity of a political nature. You're talking about the potential for other activity, are you not? If Nancy Pelosi thought she should be president, and if allegedly her daddy was a mobbed up guy, was a wise guy, involved initially with the Beto Genovese, allegedly mob or, you know, family in the alleged pushing of heroin, right, which then led him into politics, you see. It would be not too much different than today, would it not? Where you had Poppy Bush in terms of the opium poppy. Most people don't even get that anymore. And the fact that he was involved with all of the stuff for the Committee of 300 directors of the original stock company, the British East Indies stock company. Allegedly, their products were basically control of the opium traffic on the planet and the financing of blackbird ships. In other words, ships that would bring slaves that the African chieftains would then turn over for beads, cash, or whatever to Muslim Arabs who then put them on British ships and American ships, but primarily British, and brought the blackbird ships out, and then also then the slave markets inside the United States and in other places. So the fact of the matter is, we haven't changed very much other than to put a nice polished veneer over the top and then dumb down people. And then also, and when I say dumb down, you say, well, they weren't. No, if you read de Tocqueville, the famous French historian and author who came to study the new republic in America, de Tocqueville has incredible things to say about the average backwoodsman of his day that he met. The average backwoodsman of the day read at least the equivalent of 13 or 14 different newspapers and magazines of the times. You know what I'm saying? They had newspapers and they had all kind of stuff. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm having all kind of computer trouble tonight. They've been messing with me all day long, and it's just interesting. So just to let you know, I'm just in the typical baloney here with the powers that be. Okay, so now, what do we got going on besides that? The big rollout of the impeachment hearing failed. It failed big time, all right? And even one of their star witnesses had to admit that the company that young Biden was on the board of directors for 50, 60 grand a month, Bushima or whatever it was, Burishima, whatever, that they were terrible and that they should have been investigated, and that he wrote a note about Hunter Biden being on the board and sent it to Joe Biden's office and to other people in the Secretary of State. That was that Dean guy, all right? It's all hearsay, all gigglebox, and all hearsay and all baloney. But now what happens immediately after it today? Well, we have at 7:30 a.m., right? California time. We have in Saugus High School, Santa Clarita, we have a MK Ultra type shooter, okay? Now, they're not putting a lot of information out, but he's 16 years old, apparently. And I didn't read any late summaries, so I didn't catch anything they might have said about him. But he shot a bunch of people and then shoots himself in the head. But he's still alive, you see, in the hospital. But he shot himself in the head because then they cannot necessarily look into the brain to see if there is any kind of, scars on the brain, or perhaps the evidence of effects of scopolamine or something like that, or Special K or, you know, something like that, all right, that would allow them to then program the guy, probably because he's been to a shrink, okay, or they've reached him in another way, and consequently we have the typical MK Ultra type shooter that got a command, okay. And it was really pretty well orchestrated better than that, because they had Nikki Haley just happened to be on with Harris Faulkner on Fox today to talk about her book. But, of course, she was the one that was governor of South Carolina when they trotted out the KKK shooter, all right, coming in to kill him some black people, all right? You remember that? Well, so here we are, back to the other narrative. You've got to take all of the guns away out there. Now, with no disrespect to those that were murdered today by this kid, this MK Ultra shooter, and I would like to find who it is that gave him the command, you know? Miles to go before we sleep. or whatever it is, the Red Queen, you know, from, remember when old, Frank Sinatra would play the, army, major or colonel in Intel, and they had the, you know, Manchurian Candidate, and how that film came out, as you might recall or may not, that came out, I believe, the year before or right before when JFK was assassinated. And then they put another one out with Denzel Washington, a remake, but they used a triggering mechanism. And where do we hear that word, triggering? That implies that there's some kind of mass hypnosis or a spell. Has somebody worked a spell on America? You better believe it. Excuse me. So we have then the MK Ultra shooter. And obviously you must be disarmed and without any bad disrespect to those that were murdered today. And I pray that the Lord Jesus would assist their families and then would also welcome the people into heaven. But the fact of the matter is that that fits the narrative. And what I would tell everybody to do is if you do not have a firearm, or if you got maybe one and you need another one, say you got a pistol and maybe you need a shotgun, or maybe you got a shotgun, you need a rifle and or a pistol. And I think it's a three-gun deal. I think it's a pistol or revolver, A. I think it's a pump 12-gauge shotgun, all right? Something that's easy to work. You put a little oil and you pump that and rack that slide, and that will strike fear into the hearts of a lot of folk. Not only that, you load it up with the good ammo and you got pow, pow, pow. From a rifled slug to a double-aught buck, number four buck. Lachette rounds, Fierro. Fierro is the Spanish word. Fierro rounds, okay? Put fire down line. And then I think you need also, a Glock or as good of a pistol as you can get. And it doesn't have to be that because I'll tell you there's great buys on Taurus and Rugers and, you know, Smith & Wesson and all kind of stuff. I like Glocks. They're simple, easy to clean, and they're very few parts. And they fit my hand good, and they shoot good. And then they also tested Glocks. The original Glock 17, they shot it like 500,000 rounds before it ever jammed, one of the initial ones that they tested. So anyway, you also then need a rifle. Well, what's a rifle? A rifle could be a 30-06 or 308 with a scope. Be a very excellent choice. Deer hunting rifle, you see. But you remember the 30-06 was your granddad's cartridge in the, or great-granddad's cartridge in the World War II in the M1, 30-06. Well, that'll bring somebody down, will it not? Consequently, you can do a lot of deer hunting with it and also other animals and things as well. If you've got a good scope and you get practice with it, then you can hit something from a number of yards out, all right? If you're like old Mickey Lapua, you got a 338 Lapua, and you could, with good optics, you can drill something out 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards with that if you want to. You hit something closer up real good, too, and hard. If you got one of Ronnie Barrett's specials, a 50 cal, all of those are rifles, but I'm going to tell you what. The basic 223, which you better be able to get pretty quick if you're going to get one, because that's the black rifle. That's the AR-15 modification, the M4 modification, the carbine type, the 223 that is the, you know, the favorite weapon in the United States. If you do not have one of those and you want one, you better get one now. also a variant of a semi-automatic, in other words, semi-auto, means you have to pull the trigger each time. You can't just pull it and hold it down like a full auto. But the semi-auto AK-47, you know, style or variant, which is the best rifle. If you don't know how to clean them, if you don't have the penchant for cleaning them, or in other words, the will or the love of cleaning a firearm, then you can actually take that, drag it through the sand, drag it through the mud, put it in the salt water, put it in the fresh water, leave it out in the rain, leave it out in the snow, pick it up, blow the barrel out, you know, dry it out a little bit with a rag, and empty the magazine of any water, put the shells in, rack that bolt, and pow, 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 pow. Because that weapon was made for Russian, for Soviet peasants to fire without any great ability to clean it or any cleaning rags or any oil or any solvents in those days to clean it. It will fire. It will put fire down range. It will do the job. 7.62 by 39 is a decent cartridge. That cartridge has killed more people on the planet than any other. And still is. So we've got Ordo Abkayo, do we not? We have the chaos being created so that the order can be put in. At the same time, we do what we can do, do we not? Incidentally, for those who didn't hear necessarily the wonderful missionaries, the Nunamakers who went to Indochina, into certain areas of different countries over there and took the Bibles that many of you donated, and the Bibles and songbooks in the language of those particular countries in Indochina, Indochine, and that they were received so well that some of the prospective pastors that are being trained kissed them and had tears of joy, okay? And thanked everybody that listened to the old Hawk show who donated in for them. And God bless you all that did. Anyway, I pray that Debbie, that the Lord Jesus has touched her and given her a medical miracle and restored her good health. After being in contact with some Chinese types traveling that might be, to a certain degree, infectons. And speaking and bringing it up, we've got the possibility of civil war. And if you look, even on old Brett Bear, Mr. Captive Brett, who does a pretty good job, but he, on his show tonight on Fox, before I came on, they were showing all the countries in South America that are involved in heavy protests, revolutions, uprisings, all kind of stuff. Street violence, the whole nine yards. Venezuela, Chile, Peru, where I believe the legislature or the Congress has been shut down, the parliament or whatever. Argentina, Bolivia, and to a certain degree, Brazil. But those countries are just jamming. Well, what is one of the key common denominators of South America? Well, I remember a few years ago when old Rex Arbusto, that's George W. Bush, King Bush, went down there, and by golly, he was going to sign all these trade deals with South America, you know, and trying to resurrect the view of the Organization of the American States that the U.S. used to dominate. But he was going to sign all these trade deals up, and the week before he was doing his trip, the Red Chinese went down there and signed up 47 separate deals in South America. So South America is captive, in a sense, by the Red Chinese, okay, and their money. And Venezuela certainly bought a lot of Russian military planes, helicopters, armored vehicles, missiles, anti-tank weapons, AK-47s, everything under the sun. And then they're there, and they're also big time in the Middle East again. And guess where the Russians are right now as well? Heads up to the submariners and to all the naval aviators and all of those in Florida and Georgia. The Yanitar, which is the big Soviet or Russian signal intelligence spy ship, is sitting right off your coast, sucking up everything and all your traffic. And they probably even know your golf course codes and all that stuff. You know, hole number three, all that kind of stuff, the 14th green, you know, all those kind of things, the cute little stuff. So change up your pads, guys and gals. Change up your pads, because the Russian SIG in is right there. And then their base is in Havana, because Lourdes, L-O-U-R-D-E-S, which is a complex, the huge signal intelligence complex that the Soviets used to have down there with the Cubans, that has come back as well. So the Antar is the size of a destroyer. It's a big vessel. And it's vacuuming up everything. And it also, per a deep background, is running right over areas where some of the cross-Atlantic cables are that take the internet and the phone systems and all of the lines back and forth between the continents. And that they could be working in a situation where not only do they just, are they tapping them, they could do that, but they also could be planting explosive devices on the floor right next to these cross cable deals. And I think it might be time for the boys from Little Creek to take a little trip and see what's along them lines out there. Do a little, how do you call it, range riding or fence riding, you know? And you need to look for a line shack. Of course, you got the underwater base in Puerto Rico. You got off deck the underwater base in the Bahamas. So you could start up there and then go out from that, your little underwater delivery vehicles that go pretty good clip. And you need to do a little range riding. And that Yanitar, maybe you could put one of them limpets on on the bottom of that. A little James Bondian, but think about it, it's really interesting to do in a sense. And then as far as that goes, World War III is being threatened, is it not, by Putin to Great Britain and to others. They're playing games of the subs everywhere. And they always have played games here. I used to know somebody who used to detect them out of Iceland. Certain little sonar base, certain little base up there in Iceland that used to listen to them. And then I know deep background people that used to be able to use unusual methods of finding Russian submarines and putting spy ships right over the top of them, spy ships that may have had their own guns and a depth charge or two, maybe three or four. And, you know, they would sit right on top of them and find them in a unusual sort of way that only certain people were able to do that. And there's only one that I know that was ever able to do it. And make them so mad that they had to blow their cover and say, we're coming up, do not shoot us. And they come up and have garbage fights and then pull your pants down and moon the other side fights, you know? While the Russian submarine passed so close to the spy ship that they could, the cooks could throw rotten tomatoes and bananas at each other. So we got a lot of stuff. What else we got going on? You got Erdogan. Oh, you got Turgarma negotiating stuff for F-35s. That's tantalizing. Businessman Mr. Trump would like to sell a lot of F-35s to a NATO partner. They had about four or five senators up there, Joni Ernst and our buddy from Texas, who now has the mustache, the great debater, and a few others that had reservations about selling the F-35s to them while the Turks are wanting to buy S-400s and a missiles from the Russians. There's a reason they want to do that. They're pretty doggone good, but if they do that, then they bring the F-35s in, then the Ruskies and them can then get together and defeat the F-35s. Which, incidentally, the F-35s have been having to get upgrades already to defeat the Russian electronic warfare, Russian and Iranian, because the Iranians started it. The Russians took it over as a joint project and funded it, brought it home with their little better science. The electronic warfare stuff that turned off the USS Donald Cook, turned off the McCain, that was dropped the F-16s out of the sky into the woods in Georgia, dropped the helicopters off of, Navarre Beach, not too far, you know, in Florida from, what's that airport where they have a big back lot and they even have dropped the old mother of all bombs back there to see what it would do and the daisy cutters and all that stuff. Oh, yes, you know the one. You know the base. A lot of special ops fly out of the base. It's the Air Force base, isn't it? But anyway, be that as it may, Navarre Beach, there was a green glow in the air like an electronic fog, and the two choppers went into that, and then one of them was able to bank real hard and put the pedal to the metal and bust out of the green foam or the green fire or cloud. The other was seen to break apart, sort of, and then go into the drink. We reported it on this show a number of years ago. Now, the Red Chinese are behind some of the things in South America and also in Africa and also in the United States and Canada. And Brother Hodges has written a pretty good article and did a good show on that. Brother Steve Quayle and I talked about it for years. Steve, of course, more years than me, but since 2004, when I came on the air, when Steve Quayle put Old Hawk on the air, and then subsequently gave the other nights that he did over to Old Hawk to continue the show, because Steve basically said, well, you know the different items of all the areas that I've covered. And you get it. Steve said he gets it, and so he turned it over. So since 204, 205 in particular, we've been commenting on the Red Chinese in Mexico in particular. Brother Quayle got, if you recall, and some of you don't because you weren't listening even back then, he got a report from truckers from the United States driving all white trucks and trailers, taking food, groceries, full loads of groceries across the Mexican border into a more of a kind of a rural area near some mountains, but a rural area where they offloaded two Red Chinese military assets living, allegedly at that time, because we didn't know, in brand new subdivisions with 3 and 4 bedroom houses, double car garages or carports, and with checkpoints, military checkpoints in gated community, and that was Chinese military, okay, inside Mexico. in large numbers. That was also a time when the Mexicans and the Red Chinese had made deals, because then, before Xi became the top guy, he came over and did a little meeting in the 204, 203 in Mexico City, I believe. Maybe a few other cities, but wherever it was, he was talking to the creme de la creme of the Mexican government, banking, military, and the cartels. And he was saying, and he even said it in Spanish, aren't you tired of Uncle Sam causing you grief and giving you trouble and, you know, up your, you know what, all the time giving you problems? He said, we'll provide you with trade and investment and everything, and we will not be like the mean old uncle that's always in your business. We'll let you do your thing. Which for the Red Chinese, they didn't care if all of a sudden they had ports, facilities like Lazaro Cardenas, where they could connect by rail, which then becomes, as you go up, that's the train called the Beast, where they all ride that train north. Then it becomes, at a certain point, Kansas City Southern, which goes all the way into Kansas City. Actually, it goes up to by Belton, Missouri, which is near the old Richards Gebauer Air Force, SAC Air Force Base. But that then also was to be combined back in those days with the I-35 that would come up from Texas all the way up, you know, through Oklahoma, Kansas, you know, on up, straight on up into, you know, basically into Iowa, Minnesota, in that area, to split the country in half. And then that was to be the tariffs, no tariff zone, the international shipping zone. And the Red Chinese were going to ship all the way up, because the Bushes, and Poppy Bush was the ambassador to Red China when Nixon and Kissinger opened it up. But then it did provide room for all the fentanyl and all the China white before that to come on into the country. And they made the deals, and they basically own a large amount of the Port of Lazaro Cardenas and other Mexican ports and Long Beach. Okay, although Trump has done some things to try to kick them out here. The Russians had some interest in, you know, stuff, and there was Russian equipment that was brought in through Mobile and then was transferred over into Mississippi to the Piney Woods. And you remember when all the Russian armor back in the 80s, late 80s, and into the early 90s, Russian armor was going west, going west, going west on trains, and also under TRISM special carriers, TRISM special carriers, where they'd have flatbeds. TRISM was out of Nebraska, by the way. And it was a spook truck line. So, Brother Quayle and I have talked about that, and I actually asked a friend of the show to send somebody down below the borderline in Mexico. They just happened to have family in that area where them Red Chinese might have been. And he took some back mountain road stuff, kind of come over to pass where he could looky-see from up high. And he was able to look in there and see the Red Chinese and all these beautiful new houses, you know, little houses, three-bedroom, two-baths, four-bedroom, two-baths, that kind of stuff, with the double carports or garage and the whole nine yards, nice roads, with a checkpoint that had some Chinese but also Mexican federales protecting it. So all of this stuff is ready to go, and Brother Hodges is correct, but it's not so much the UN as it just is the Red Chinese, okay? They may use a UN auspices or raison d'etre to come in, but it's not necessarily UN controlled. It's more Red Chinese using the UN auspices. So, the Antar is sitting up Florida. We got a lot of Red Chinese, and if you ever go to a Chinese restaurant, oh, I could say a whole lot. You remember all the stuff I've told over the years about how friends of the show were in Berea, Kentucky, and they saw this van full of high and tight haired, civilian clothes, Chinese soldiers, obviously, with an officer. I even told you that the guy had a surf shop, like a West Coast surf shop t-shirt on, and he was the officer, and they brought out sack lunches to the troops, so to speak, in the white van, all right? And it was in a motel parking lot, and that friend of the show was there with his spouse, and the friend of the show gave him a real hard, inquisitive look. They went in and checked into the motel, and then as they got to their room on the second floor from the elevator, a certain red Chinese goon was standing there glaring at the friend of the show. Like, you took too much interest in our van and our people, buddy. And then about that time, the red Chinese got the cobra eye lock, you know, the cobra death lock in the eyes from the friend of the show. And the guy, the Chinese guy, must have had dreams about being put in a Shanghai sling or something like that and tied up in ribbons and knots and disposed of into the backwaters, you know, or over the rail of the balcony. So he decided not to confront to the next degree the friend of the show. Well, what the problem is that somebody dusted the door handles or of the car or something or the air ducts, because when they returned home the next day or two, they caught a upper respiratory infection that lasted for about 6 to 8 weeks and even required multiple, you know, visits to the doctor. And I think even, as I recall, a little trip to the hospital for a day or two or three. You also recall that when I was telling you all about, and Brother Quayle broke the story about the Smokey trucks, because we heard from the mighty men of valor about the Smokey trucks, mobile crematorium and labs combined in big tractor trailers, and how they were going around, and what I found out was they were going around and they were scooping up winos and junkies off the street at night. Homeless, a lot of veterans and homeless, they would take them. I even had reports out of the Illinois State Fair, which used to always have during the fair a lot of street people and homeless and hobos and everybody and their dog, homeless people, trying to, you know, sleep in and around the fairgrounds because they could get in and out pretty easy under the bleachers and that kind of stuff. And then I had a report back then that how those people were absent that particular year. Seems as though somebody was seen picking them off the street, throwing them into vans or throwing them into trucks. And if you also recall about that period of time that the MMB said that they stopped the Smokey truck as it was getting ready prior to going over from North Dakota into the Canadian, across the Canadian border, either Montana or somewhere, they stopped it, and they had a little run and gun battle with the crew of it. And when they opened the back up, there was a lab in there with cages to keep lab subjects, and then they had the mobile crematoria right there, and they had a full lab where they were doing, probably injecting them with different biotype weapons to see what their effects would be and if they could get things to jump species. Well, after that, they released people, and there were some interesting people inside of that that had been picked up, apparently. And then others of the Smokey truck variety were being seen And they were in lager, meaning they were in like a circle of wagons kind of a deal in the woods up there by Lethbridge. And there's a military base up in that area as well. And then you remember I also told you about the Red Chinese Lee family, L-I, Lee, one of the trillionaire type families, allegedly, Illuminati, friends of the Bushes. But they owned a clinic near, right at Calgary, Alberta. And they also were involved back in those days in the huge microbiology and bioweapons, that kind of stuff, research. And they had an international symposium for microbiology and mycology in, I believe it was Shanghai or Beijing. And it just so happened that that lab up there in Calgary also did research in microbiology and stuff, allegedly. And then if you recall back then, there was the talk, a lot of talk nationwide on the regular news about recombination of a deadly bird flu and a swine flu that would then they thought would cause something closer to the Spanish flu, which killed millions worldwide. But they wanted something more deadly and that you could catch easier, but more deadly as well. And then you remember that there in 2005, I believe it was, there was an outbreak of what they thought was a combined bird and swine flu, remember? But it wasn't quite the final version. But that was an era of 204, 203, 204, 205, where there was massive amounts of weird upper respiratory ailments, some up from chemtrails. And incidentally, they seemed to be around Temecula and that area. Doing a lot of chemtrailing in the last few days. And hats out to the scholar of Temecula and also to the, all DDSs, you know, in a town or two over, you know. God bless you out there. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that, the Calgary deal and the thing in Shanghai were there. And you remember this recombination, we were a strain or two or a jump or two away from getting something real easy to catch, but that would have a high deadly rate of kill that would turn into what they were calling a hemorrhagic flu. Hemorrhagic, meaning you're start to bleed in your lungs and out your ears and your eyeballs and every orifice, more like an Ebola. Isn't that interesting? And interestingly enough, there's been a new strain of Ebola has appeared in the Congo or somewhere. Motaba, right? Or whatever, you know, what they're going to call it. So they're still playing the games in Africa with the recombination games. And the CDC is talking about superbugs have killed many more people in the last year in the United States than they originally thought was possible. MRSA and superbugs. I also know somebody that's right now is suffering from an infection they got from an operation where the doctors didn't put the drain things in properly. And incidentally, just right now, Lord Jesus, will you go to our friend, the grandmama Mina on the Palm Coast who's staying there to go to a different doctor. And to those who wish to contact her, I would like to give her the information, but I'm not going to do that right now because I don't want her compromised at this time. And she's not able to receive you in her situation. She's got good help from relatives and family. But Lord Jesus, will you go to her and provide her a medical miracle right tonight? Give her the medical miracles you know that she needs, Lord. You've already been doing that. But let's continue if you can. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Now, while we've got all this trouble, you know that Lucifer is the one that wants you to have the chaos. When you do the chaos, then you can put the order in. In the United States, you got to get rid of the guns. So when the impeachment thing goes wrong or gets a little wookie-wookie, boom, school shooting. It's all Trump's fault. He better take the guns away. And we're told him they need to take all the guns. And Beto wanted to take your gun. And Kamala Harris wants to take your gun. And Elizabeth Warren wants to take your gun. Bloomberg wants to take your gun. And Deval Patrick would tell you he wouldn't, but he really would, I'll bet ya. See how it's all tied together. So Brother Hodges is right about the Red Chinese, and he does cite that he's cited research from Steve Quayle from long ago. Well, that's right, because I used to find a lot of the information similar to Steve, and then we shared some sources, but I also had independent sources, as he did too. So our work reconfirmed each other. It was like a second confirmation in a lot of cases. But can you imagine the mobile crematoria with a lab attached where they were trying and injecting certain things, let's say, on test subjects to see how they did? Then you watch them if they got to a certain point, if they either didn't do what they wanted or it was ineffective, they just put them in the mobile crematoria. Well, it didn't make any difference because they were usually homeless people or junkies or stew bums or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Drunks or whatever, sleeping rough. All right. We also talked about how when I, with the Chinese over the years, I told you all about the smoky trucks and got further confirmation. I had the guy be sent down into Mexico to confirm what Brother Quayle was getting. I also used to tell you about all the red Chinese hackers, the military hackers and stuff, and I used to read off on air all of these different URLs at the Beijing train station where they have thousands of them in a back big building behind the back there. Chinese military hacking. I used to give all that out. I used to report all those things to Hackers Watch International back in those days. And I used to track every single thing with the special McAfee software that used to be available back then where you could actually watch the zigzags where it came and all the places it went through to come to you. Well, that particular time, I also was talking to you about the Lee family itself and their involvement, as I told you, with the microbiology and all of that, and being an Illuminati family, trillionaires. And we talked about that. Then I told you that I started getting hack attempts from a certain Bentley mobile phone in Shanghai, Bentley automobile mobile phone in Shanghai, and also from a penthouse on a certain road in Shanghai, which I tracked and traced both of them. And you remember back then I gave the name of who owned the penthouse, the address, and the phone number that was listed for the terminal up there for the, you know, computer and stuff involved in it, and then also the Bentley. Well, both of those were owned by the Leaf family. And it wasn't too long after that that I had a guy at my front door on Saturday night, 2:30 in the morning. And the Lord Jesus, I go to look at the door out the little side there at the, and Lord Jesus says, don't look at his face or eyes, look at his hand. And I saw him with the little cell phone like thing, but grasping it. More like he was going to use it like a taser on my neck or temple or to use it to push a button that would shoot a .22 long rifle that the Red Chinese agents in those days and still today have. They have a working phone. They can push a combination or one or two buttons, and it goes pow, .22 long rifle. At least one shot, maybe two. So the Lord told me that. Well, I just happened to have a, what do they call them, a Glockenspiel 40, right, in my hand. And I told him, and he was sing-song English to me, pigeon. Oh, you help me, please. Oh, you help me, Mr. Pigeon English, you know. Rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah, you know, like the Christmas movie deal. Well, anyway, I told him through the door, I said, you just get off my porch or I'm going to ventilate you through the door. And this guy in a $1,200 sport jacket and real nice shoes, you know, gray wool slacks, jumps backward about 5 feet and takes off running outside of this little courtyard from the front of my house and runs down the cul-de-sac. Well, then by that time, I had gone out another door with a driver, with a golf driver that had a special telescope on the driver so I could see where the hole was at. You know, maybe I would hit it long enough that it would go to the golf hole, you know, that I could put it right in the cup, you know. Sort of had like a rangefinder too, in a sense, but let's just say that. It was a golf driver. Boy, it used, you could hit them big, those big golf balls, you know, real strong with it, you know, and zap something down the road with them pretty easy and hit that green, you know, overdrive the green. Well, I saw the guy run down the street, and he talks to a guy in a black SUV. He's got the engine running and is sitting at the little cul-de-sac turnaround. He's smoking the cigarette because I could see him in the winter. But he had the inside light turned off and all that, but I could see the cigarette. And then the guy goes to the driver's side, talks to this guy. Then he runs back around the side, gets to the passenger side, and they fire that sucker up and take up off the little hill. And I'm about a block away by the time they got to me. They were doing 75, 80 mile an hour. I mean, that guy dropped a hammer on that thing. And it must have had like a supercharger or a fuel injector, you know, a turbo or something on it. Because it went, whoo, man, it took off. Lickety split. And I just had the driver. I was swinging that driver, you know, following it right down the course of the thing. And so I know a little bit about the Red Chinese, as does Brother Quail and other friends of the show. Consequently, I would tell you that Brother Hodges is 100% correct. And that if you look in Chinese restaurants, you might look at the back table in the afternoon and watch the guys eating there, and you might get a good semblance. You might even see like a Jet Li from the movie type, you know. So we've got World War III, a morning, Gog Magog War. We got the Gaza and Israel all wild, the Iranians going wild and threatening World War III with the United States. And you got the Democrats, the demonic commie rats, engaged in a destruction of the United States, an attempt to do a coup d'etat against the sitting president of the United States, who has done nothing but increase the number of jobs, lifted hundreds of thousands of people off of poverty, increased the basic wages, lowered the unemployment rate across the board, and for all of the ethnic groups, for women, for the blacks, Hispanics, Asian, Native Americans, everybody is working, older people working. And there's still thousands and thousands of jobs. And then not only that, but they're still have let in so many illegal aliens, all of them are working. But at the same time, a large number of people in the United States are not making it. Because since 1973, the graph went down in terms of real purchasing power, okay? It's just now starting to tick up a little bit. But there's too much debt, costs too much to go to college, it costs a lot to live. You're sitting in California and you got a three-bedroom home, you know, 3-bedroom, 1-bath house, and it's $750,000 or, you know, $1 million or whatever in whatever neighborhood you're at. People can't afford to live in New York City, can't afford to live in San Francisco, you know, can't afford to live in Chicago where $2,000-$3,000 rent is nothing, you know. We're a nice place. So, we've got all the makings of civil war, Gog-Magog war, and also the potential for problems coming up. And I would remind you to read Matthew 24 and Luke 21. And the prescription is Matthew 25, the wise and virgins and foolish virgins parable. Excuse me, with the lamp oil and the wicks. You got to have the lamp oil and the wicks. You got to also have food. You also got to have NBC gear. I'll tell you something good. Another good thing to get, and somebody sent me the DVD of it, Jericho, the CBS series from back a few years ago where it starts out with a nuclear weapon hits Denver and a nuclear weapon apparently hits Atlanta. I forget if there's any more, but it's set in like western Kansas. Because you see at the sign at Kansas City, 362 miles away, but you're still in Kansas at the time. So that's western, southwestern Kansas. So consequently, it gets pretty tough real quick because the power all goes out. Because the power grid goes down. And you start getting into preparations and stuff and all kind of crazy stuff. Now it gets and develops into even wilder things and subplots. But don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight. Stand for your family. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your Bill of Rights. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high-tech to strike blows against the Lucys. Bandango region, I know you're ready. Mickey Lapua. Mickey, keep your eye on the optics and squeeze that trigger. Don't jerk it. May Lord Jesus protect you against all evil tonight, and may he provide you a superabundance so that you can prepare. Keep Old Hawk in mind if you can. I can use any assistance as possible. Thank you all that. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.